WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We wish we were beginning the 2022 year with better news, like a playoff surge for the Ravens or a victory over the Rams or getting the kids back to school on snowy days. Dennis Colatzos, you and I have had some tough days, some hard days, some bad days. I don't know where to put this Ravens season or to put this into perspective in the middle of a plague, in the middle of snowstorms, in the middle of January, in the middle of all of this, right? But I can't be down on the team or down on the coach at this point because they've lost five games in a row. But boy, oh boy, as a fan, you know, it feels like the sand just slipped between our fingers, doesn't it, Dan?
It does, but this one I am going to put on the coaching staff and Greg Roman in particular. I'm not one of those who's calling for Greg Roman's head, but he just lacks a feel for the game at certain times. With 6 minutes left in the game, Ravens are clinging to a 16-14 lead. You got Latavius Murray, who's running six or seven times in a row with positive yardage, and they get a play on first down, and defensive tackle for the Rams makes a play, stops him. Then it got away from it, Ness. So you got to feed the horse at that point. You got to come away with seven, not three. So they kick the field goal. They go up 19-14, and you got Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham Jr. on the other side of the ball. They could and should have salted the game away at that point, and I do blame him for not doing so.
Well, the two-yard line, they tried to salt the game away up the middle. Your center gets blown up. Your backup center gets blown up, right?
Correct.
And then your quarterback gets sacked, and you're put in a position, instead of salting the game away, as I tweeted, it felt like they were 2 yards away from winning the game, living another week, having something interesting happen here. But this is going on four out of the last 5 weeks, right? Where one way or another, ahead, behind, team coming, charging back on them, they were the aggressor in several cases where they came back, in cases where the Indianapolis game, even back when Lamar was playing, you didn't think they had that in them. It's been such a topsy-turvy year, but five losses in a row after three or four skin flint wins in a row, and the Bengals demolition crew, and they did that to the Chiefs this weekend as well. They're an 8-8 team, Dan. I mean, they feel like an 8-8 team to me. They don't feel better than that. They don't feel like cheated out of 12-4 or whatever, because I've watched them play. But I also feel like from the fan perspective, from the architect perspective, and I guess that starts with Bisciotti, DaCosta, the brain trust of what they wanted this season to be, I really don't know what you're expecting out of your backup quarterback on New Year's Day running around against the Rams with no Marlon Humphrey, no Marcus Peters, no Ronnie. Just down the list, I will be kinder and gentler when all this is over with, because I feel like they were an 8-8 team, and they was brought on really by the injuries more than anything. We never really got to see the horse run in this race for me for the season.
Agreed. And look, they are what the record says they are. They were earlier in the season, they were winning by the skin of their teeth. And now at the later part of the season, they're losing in the same fashion, right, by the skin of their teeth. And in the NFL in years past, when they had a 16-game schedule, whether you were 10-6 or 6-10, those teams can beat each other on any given day. Then you have the elites, and then you have the ulcer man. So the Ravens, whether they're 8-9 or 9-8, to me, doesn't make much of a difference. It may make a difference maybe in a draft spot, draft slot, what have you, but it is what it is. They've had a season decimated by injuries, and I'm sure that's going to be the topic of conversation with Steve Bisciotti and Eric DaCosta. And Eric DaCosta has a lot of work to do in the offseason in terms of personnel, right? An aging defensive line. You got to address a defensive backfield. You got the Lamar contract. A lot of moving parts, Ness. It's going to be win, lose, or draw this coming Sunday. They have a lot of work to do.
Dennis Colatzos here. He's a Coons Ford. I'm wearing the shirt. Whether he could see it or not, it's red. It's got the crown on it. You can find him at Security Boulevard. You can also find him at D. Colatzos Show out on Twitter, as well as on Thursday from 3 until 5. And then before the game, now the 1 o'clock game against the also-ran Pittsburgh Steelers at this point. Dennis, just for me, with what Bisciotti expects, what the organization expects, I would think the injury thing and the training regimen, I know you and I have talked about this, that if this many people were getting hurt out on the Coons Ford lot, you would start to question what kind of pavement we have here. And, you know, are the roads lying the right way? Are we just unlucky? And look, it's a tough game, right? I mean, I think COVID has really flatlined all of this to say, any morning, you can wake up any player, any time. We thought Bradley Bozeman may, you know, before the game may have been, but we're seeing it around the league the last couple of weeks. I don't know if I own the team right now that I'm questioning the people or the personnel as much as I'm questioning how are we getting injured like this? Why us? Why here? Why now? Was it fluke? Or is it something that could be avoided in the future?
Yeah, I would agree 100% with you. You as the owner have a big investment in these players, their well-being, and we've always said the best ability is availability, right? So that's the other part of it too. They've got to make a decision: are they going to have players that are available? Reference Tavon Young, Deshaun Elliott, you know, guys that seem to always be in the tub versus on the field. And it's strange that Tavon is one of the few defensive backs left this year, right, standing.
Jimmy Smith out making tackles.
And Jimmy Smith, but again, you're right. So the owner has to look at the training facility, the field, the methods, the strength staff, and things of that nature, because you can't win without having players on the field. And 25 to 30 players on injury reserve. And that's, I mean, it's an aberration. But they went through the same thing, I believe, back in 2007 with a defensive backfield. 2021, the story is it was basically the entire team, entire position groups wiped out, such as running back and defensive back, and the offensive line has been a bit of a sieve the entire season as well.
Well, yeah, the offensive line running the ball was a challenge when they were put together in the beginning of the season, and never really were with Freeman and Murray sort of coming in off the street late into this thing. My issue, the aging part of the team that you mentioned, they knew coming into this how old Calais Campbell was going to be in January of 22. And they knew coming into this where they stood with Zeitler and Villanueva and Brandon Williams. And we just go down the line to the 30-somethings here that they were kind of counting on to some degree. And Belichick has won championships that way. Andy Reid brought Terrell Suggs over, you know, for a week and a half and won, right? So all of that's there. But when the young guys can't get that, when Lamar hasn't been on the field a month, and I don't know whether it's even wise to play him this week or whether it's wise for him to play, if it matters at 2% or whatever these numbers will be this week, that we can concoct that they can somehow make the playoffs this week. But this offseason, no offseason taste of losing a playoff game in dramatic fashion at home, on the road. You know, the Titans lost, the Chargers lost, the Bills lost. This is a whole different kind of offseason, I think, here, Den, where, to your point, you're starting to question, like, all right, is Stanley really coming back? We got all this money in him, but who's really going to play tackle? Who's going to get 800 snaps next year at that position? And where are we with Marcus Peters? And Campbell, Villanueva, Josh Bynes, Brandon Williams. We just go down the Jimmy Smith. All these guys gone. So you could say, well, we're going to bring Mark Andrews back. We got what, you know, Marlon will get over his injury. He'll be back. He'll be a leader. Patrick Queen, whatever. There's a lot of question marks going on with this franchise. I mean, Sammy Watkins won't be back, right? There are a bunch of guys that won't be back. And then there's the Gus Bus and the Dobbins. And how healthy are they going to be coming back from all of this? All of this uncertainty off of injuries of the offseason. Boy, a lot of work to do for Eric DaCosta, right? No wonder he's not returning my phone calls.
That's right. That's exactly right. And you build a team from the trenches out. That's always been my belief. And the offensive line, defensive line, you know, you can spend we can have an entire show just talking about the holes on both sides of the ball, right? You better get the trenches right to keep Lamar Jackson upright and also give the linebackers and defensive backs a chance. And the pass rush for the Ravens has been non-existent for the entire season. Look, do they look at the coordinators? Do they look at Wink Martindale? Do they look at Greg Roman? And I'm sure everybody will be evaluated this year, because the injury you can only use so much as an excuse. It's a valid excuse, but there's also other teams in the league. You mentioned the Titans. They've had, I believe, 89 people on their roster at any time. Different people on the roster at this year, and they're still going to be right there. And if they get back Derrick Henry, They're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. So injuries, you can only use an excuse so far, Ness.
You know, I talk a lot of gambling here with the Maryland Lottery, and now we can all go and wager. What was the chances of the Titans being a one seed at the end of all of this, right? Like, we'll talk about Andy Reid and what they've done and Belichick with the rookie quarterback, and we'll have time to talk about maybe Justin Herbert in the playoffs. There's going to be good stories all along. Cincinnati's its own novel right now, coming back and beating the Chiefs the way they are. But the Titans potentially being a one seed, it's insane, right?
It is insane, and you mentioned the Bengals. They're going to be a problem, not just this season, but for years to come. Looks like they have a fantastic offense with Joe Burrows. Their mercurial receivers, right? That core is going to be very difficult to stop. And you know, the Ravens used to be built to stop the Steelers and vice versa, but now there's a new player, a new contender in the division. The Browns are still the Browns, and look, the Bengals are also a poor organization. You and I have talked about that in past segments. And you can only hope that they continue to be a bad organization. But they've got so much talent, Ness, and that talent's going to pay dividends for, you know, to them for the next 2 or 3 years at least.
I can't even hate Joe Burrow. Like, I want to, like, get on the wrong side with him. Like, Manning, it was different with Peyton Manning because he was wearing a cold helmet. So it was very, very easy to just dislike him from the beginning. Roethlisberger, ditto. I mean, the Browns, that kid's cocky, so I don't like him to begin with, and he's not that good. And not as good as Joe Burrow. I worry about beating – how many times are we going to beat Joe Burrow in the next 8 years? Seriously, next 8 years, we're going to play him 16 times. And I know that. They're not moving us out of the division, right? So we're going to play that kid 16 times. Are we going to go 3-13, 8-8, 10-6? I don't know. You tell me. But we're not going 14-2 against the Bengals the next 8 years.
Well, it was the same question we had about Ben Roethlisberger, 15, 17 years ago when he came in and played against the Ravens when he relieved Tommy Maddox. We thought the same thing about this cat. We're going to have to face him twice a year, maybe three times a year for the next decade. Now, of course, his shelf life has been much longer than that, but we can make the same assessment with Burrow. And Burrow was first overall, where Ben was the 10th overall draft pick. So they're both, you know, you have the ghost of seasons past to the present and future at this point for the Ravens.
Dennis Colatzos is here. He will present the past, present, and future on Thursday between 3 and 5. It is the Sunday Sports Voice and Dennis Colatzos. You can find him at D. Colatzos Show. You can probably find him wading through all the weather and the elements at a Coons Ford, Baltimore at Security Boulevard as well, and buy a pre-owned or a new vehicle. Anything you want to say on the new vehicle thing? Because last week, that was a crunch week, 65 degrees, the whole thing. And then it's like, boom, we begin. No playoffs, snowstorm for you, Colatzos. Have one.
Hey, but we have lots of 4x4s and all-wheel drives as always here at Coons Baltimore Ford. And we closed out the year very strong. We certainly want to start the year off the same way, just like the manufacturer Ford Motor Company. So the deals are still there. So you can still get 0% for 60 months on most models. There's some 1.9% for 72 months. And no one has more inventory on the ground, new or pre-loved, than Coons Baltimore Ford in our region.
And he's got squeegees out there to get all the snow off, too. And we'll let it melt by the time but it's supposed to snow a couple times here this week. The Pittsburgh game, and then I went to the game on Sunday, and I'm going to have me an off season. I think you and I have privately gotten together on some issues regarding my tickets and my seats and where we are, but my wife and I went to the game together for one of the final times on Sunday and in our seats. And I clicked the button on the way in at 12:30. We were getting a hot dog. And tickets are $15 on SeatGeek, right? The value of the tickets, how many Steelers fans. Yins are going to be driving Don in that this week to see Ben. And there's a notion that it could be a Steeler scene because it's Roethlisberger's last game. And, like, quite frankly, you and me and 100 other Ravens fans may not want to witness it, given weather. I don't know. But what do you make of this last week and Lamar probably not going to play? Would you play him if he were healthy? I wouldn't. But if you're John Harbaugh, there's that 2%, and here we go, and let's go. We got to win. We got to be 9-8. We don't want to be 8-9. I get all that. But this is the weirdest of circumstances. You mentioned Burrow. Here's the other side of this where Roethlisberger is going to end it all right here and probably going to want to throw 3 or 4 against a bunch of guys who probably have no business in the league right now in the back end.
If I'm John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson is completely healthy, I would absolutely play him. You want to win. You want to give the young man reps. You want to finish the year on a high note. You want to beat the hated Steelers. So all hands on deck. And knowing John as you and I do and the rest of the Ravens fanatics, he's going to play his best. And if Lamar can get out there and if he's relatively healthy, and I hope that you know Snoop Huntley has done a nice job filling in for Lamar, but he's not Lamar Jackson, and I hope everybody has seen that. Lamar is a generational talent, and if he's ready to go, 9-8 still sounds better than 8-9 to me, Ness, and especially if this is going to be Ben's last game, let's send him out on a losing note.
Well, you don't want to lose to the Steelers to go to 8-9, right? Like, so I'm not saying that there's no want for the Ravens and certainly as hard as they play. I'm saying for the fan base, for what this represents for the Steelers, this could represent a weird week where there's 35,000 Steelers fans in the stadium.
Absolutely. I know the tickets, a lot of fans didn't show up or sold the tickets to the Rams game. And, it could be reminiscent of the early Ravens move to Baltimore from Cleveland, where there were times where it was 50-50 split in the stands between Steelers fans and Ravens fans. They travel well. They're only 4 hours away. Most of them drive down. Some fly, as we know. But it could be akin to a Steelers' home game to send Ben away. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting dynamic, and it wouldn't surprise me because there's some apathy about this team in this town for a number of reasons.
Well, I think 8-9 or 9-8, if Lamar doesn't play, it's an incomplete thing. He goes into the offseason having limped off the field and having the team either lose six games or five and then one, whatever, you know, whatever, however many losses we're going to stack up here before it's all over with. This is a wacky offseason for them, signing him, where they are with him, his value against the cap, what they're going to need in other areas of the football team, and whether they want to marry him yet or not, right? Like, they say they want to marry him, but then comes the wedding, and then comes the how much money, who are we negotiating with, all the things they've said privately that Lamar may think that Lamar could take his talents out onto the market a year from now or make his $23 million this year and get franchised for $30 or $40 million next year, whatever the number would be. I don't know, but I don't know that they have to go giving him $200 million on May 3rd of this offseason to feel like they've done something, and I don't know that that's necessarily what they're going to do, quite frankly.
Well, a lot of things are going to be in play, and the scale is from him holding out to him signing that contract, and everything else in between. Everything's on the table. Everything's going to be analyzed, and look, Lamar does have a voice. He doesn't have a professional sports agent representing him, right? So whatever his brain trust, whoever they are in that group, we'll see what happens. And I'm still shocked they didn't come to terms during the bye week this season. He was coming off his best streak as a quarterback, as a passer. And that was the ideal time for him, in my opinion, to sign that contract. And he missed that window. And I think that may come back to haunt not just him, but the franchise. But this is why we watch sports, and this is why we love sports, because it's drama that you just can't make up. And whether it's Lamar Jackson or the antics of one Antonio Brown on any given Sunday.
Well, you know, if the Washington football team can't make the playoffs and if I can't be disliking the Steelers in the playoffs, at least I got the Cowboys, right? I mean, they got the Eagles now that they get in, right? So it's playoffs. Everybody's invited except the Ravens at this point. I mean, expanded the field, all of it, sort of watered it down, but that won't stop us from watching next week.
No, we'll certainly tune in. Still lots of intrigue, not just for the Baltimore Ravens, but the entire league, which is why we tune in.
Dennis, I appreciate you. I'll be tuned in on Thursday from 3 until 5. I'll be a part of the Dennis Colazzo Show. As always, heard from 3 until 5 on Thursday and then again on Sunday morning. And a lot of times you'll hear Dennis and Luke or Dennis and I rapping on Friday and Saturday as well as we sort of fold that into our Baltimore positive coverage. Hey, pre-love cars, new cars, get the snow off the lot. It's 2022. We got new cars to sell and certainly a football team to build here after this week, Dan. We'll take the deep dive into the offseason when we get to the offseason. In the meanwhile, don't embarrass ourselves against the Steelers, right?
Got to beat those Yinzers and send them back with the last loss of the season.
Pittsburgh week. Yeah. You know, schedule makers.
I was going to say, hopefully the last loss of Ben Roethlisberger's career.
That's well, you know what? There is that image of Ray Lewis on the knee and the steam and like all that. It's been a lot of battles. We'll be there on Sunday. It's the Steelers and the Ravens. You can find Dennis on Thursday, as well as Sunday morning as well. Nasty at WNST.net finds me. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.